This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Poll questions up. One guy said, why are we doing this? Because it ain't over till it's over. And we're asking you a simple question. You can just go vote. You don't have to complain and cry about it. Just go vote and say, no, I think we are completely out on Lamar Jackson. And maybe we are. I don't know. I think Arthur Smith wanted to kind of put that out there today, that they believe in Desmond Ridder. And, you know, hey, he's a guy that we hope takes the next step. I don't know, Mike. Maybe I'm just being too petty when it comes to this. Maybe I am. Because I guess I'm just waiting for this ringing endorsement. I said this yesterday, and I asked Chris, I asked Bo, I think Day-Day was in there, and I said, where is this, like, this thing that makes us as Falcon fans go, okay, we're good.
Right.
That hasn't been said. That hasn't come from anybody. I don't know if it comes from the owner. I don't think that's going to happen today when Arthur Blank comes on the show. They like the kid, but I don't think that's going to. So anyways, the poll question's up. You guys can go vote. And we're talking about it because, again, I played Rich Eisen at the start of the top of the hour here, and Rich Eisen was saying yesterday that he believes that tweet, you know, goes to a specific group of people like Arthur Blank, who says, hey, I know you're a decision maker, and he's talking about the Lamar tweet. I'm out here. And he laid out a scenario where Arthur Blank could be saying, and he said he talked to our former general manager, and the former general manager, okay, said that he believes that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot are making right. these decisions. It is not Arthur Blank.
Right. And Arthur told us he was not involved in the Deshaun Watson move that we tried to make back St. Patrick's Day last year. And that obviously blew up in our face. And then, you know, as we've talked about, it's been analyzed. Cleveland just came in like a poker game with all the chips all in. And your stack was about yay big. And then you get egg on your face because now you've marginalized your quarterback, Matt Ryan. You got to move on. You don't move him for a third-round pick. When, in hindsight, we should have moved Matt probably 2 years ago, which I also think Arthur didn't want to do. See, I just believe, and I know, like, we'll ask Arthur, and he may or may not answer. I'm not trying to put Arthur on the spot. He's always been gracious with us. But I've always felt, I said to you, Carl, I think he thought he could have the baby without the labor pains. He could go from Matt to Deshaun.
Yeah.
I could go from a guy to another guy who's going to put fannies in the seats and be a great quarterback, and we won't skip a beat. But you can't do it that way. And then there's folks on the other side of this who say, look, we're finally out of the cap hell that we could we were never the Saints. The Saints always found a loophole, always found a way. We never did.
Yeah.
And now we're finally cap free. And then you want to throw a $250 million guaranteed contract at somebody. That's the logic behind the anti-Lamar Jackson crowd.
No, and I get it. I would love to tell you guys that's the number. I just don't think that's the number. I don't think he's going to get that from anybody.
But I think, now again, and this is where you have to read what he said, read what's been said on the other side, and try to draw some conclusions here. As Brian McFadden said, you do the best you can. But from what everything I've read, I think he's kind of locked on a number very similar to Deshaun, and certainly more than Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Our buddy Steve Weiss, and we'll get him on. Somebody just sent this to me. Steve sat down with Coach today, so he's making his rounds. Obviously, he talked to the pool reporters and D-Led. We'll talk to D coming up on the show. But we'll hear it coming up in Yeah Man, No Man here in about 30 minutes talking about Ridder for 2023. You guys can tell us how you feel. I mean, it's one of those things where if you feel like that's the deal, so be it. Right. I'm going to wait to see. It's sort of like the draft with me, Mike. I don't evaluate the draft until it's done. We can talk about all this prognosticating all we want. Until I see the players and I see what we've done,
right.
It's not done. Until I see the roster and what it looks like, it's not done. So And by the way, this poker game is still going on.
Right.
Has Carolina told us who they're taking? Atlanta? Have they?
Well, I mean, here's the other side to this. I mean, the other thing is, look, Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot are putting their jobs on the line because Desmond Ritter's got to be the man. I want to believe. Look, I wanted him to. I'm not anti-Ritter. I wanted to believe in him a summer ago. Right? Remember last summer? I really, really, really want him. Don't even bother with Mario. Let's not even waste. What did I tell you on August? Back in August, let's not even waste anyone's time with Mariota because he's going to be a bum.
You did say
which
this.
Which is exactly what. He'll have some good plays and some bad plays.
You said this. Game. Mike, you said it.
The ceiling was low.
You
like,
said it.
Like my first apartment. Very low ceiling. But here's the deal. Now I want Ritter to. We all want Ritter to do it, but we don't know if Ritter's going to. You guys want Ritter. You don't know he's going to be able to do it. Let's be honest. You can't. There's no way anyone can say, go, I know Ritter's going to do it. What? Because he threw two touchdowns in four games?
It's not enough.
You don't know that. I don't know that. I like the guy. I want him to be the man. But you can't sit there and lie to yourself about this either if we're going to have a real conversation about it.
A real conversation. Now, here's the other thing, okay? You know what Matt Ryan did his first time on the field as a Falcon? Does anybody want to raise their hand? Anybody? He threw a touchdown, a long touchdown right. pass, right?
Yep.
And everybody went, oh, crap!
Right, right.
This guy can play! Did you see that from Ritter? I'm just asking!
Yeah, it was Matt Ryan and Michael Jenkins.
Correct.
Right.
Big play immediately. Now, it wasn't scripted. The play was supposed to probably go for 10 yards. Point is, he throws a touchdown on the first time you see him, and you go, oh, my God! Fair or unfair? Haven't seen it. 404-741-0929. Boy, I hope this kid is. I hope he balls out. I really do. If he's going to be the guy. And according to Arthur Smith, he's our head coach. He basically laid that out today. More on this coming up as we continue to move along. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. How low was the roof in your apartment at that point? How low?
Well, in Southampton, I lived in this old house, probably 100-some-odd years old. We called it the Nightmare on Elm Street. That's the place where crazy Stephanie, my girlfriend, she threw herself on the hood of my car.
Oh, I remember that story.
And I'm driving about 25 miles an hour down Elm Street.
Is that the one that threw your clothes out?
No, that's Patty. That was here in Atlanta.
Okay, sorry. Got mixed up.
She threw all my clothes out of the... My next-door neighbor was Raphael Bellihard.
I didn't mean to mix them up.
All my clothes went down on Peachtree. Well, again, because you shouldn't cheat on your girlfriend when she's paying for the apartment you're living in. That's some advice for you youngsters out there.
So your stuff was waiting on you.
Yes, it was.
You're lucky it wasn't burnt up.
Dress shirts just blowing right down here. My drawers in the bushes. It was embarrassing.
All right, guys, let's talk about what's going on at the owners' meetings, and there is a lot. First and foremost, John Harbaugh, he says he's ready. He's going to get ready for Lamar. All right, he's not looking at any other quarterbacks. Mike, he even talks about the new OC, Monken.
Right.
They're all prepared to be there when Lamar comes.
John Harbaugh, if I'm honest, sounds like he's living in a fantasy world.
It does. It does. Let's hear it.
I'm getting ready for Lamar. That's what I'm doing in our offense. We've got a new offensive coordinator. Very excited about Todd Monken. We're in the lab right now building the offense and putting it together with the terminology and the plays and things like that. And that's what you focus on as a coach.
Okay.
Yeah, but it might not be happening. But he's sitting there assuming that somehow magically this is all going to get fixed. I think there's too much acrimony. I don't think you can fix this. And this goes back to our conversation you started with the agent question. Agent somehow creates a buffer. Lamar is on the front line of these negotiations with his people.
Yeah, he's feeling it. He's taking all the smoke. He is, right? And sometimes your feelings get hurt. Like, that's part of this. But Harbaugh went on to say, Mike, that he loves Lamar.
We made a decision to go with Lamar Jackson 5 years ago, right? Why? Because we love him. We love him. We love the way he plays. We love his mindset, his charisma, his style, the way he's in the locker room. Everything about him, we love him. I love him personally. I love being the coach of the team that he's playing quarterback for.
How many times did he say love? Love, love.
A lot of love.
Love.
Well, you'd love him too if you saw that quarterback we saw. What was that guy's name? Who was that guy? I was driving back from Amelia Island listening to Arson West losing their minds over the officials on that game up in Baltimore.
Huntley,
yes, that guy.
Yeah. I love him. Why wouldn't you love him? Yeah.
Love the way he plays.
Yes.
Here's the deal, though. I mean, you've had a lot of games where he hasn't been out there, you know, and everyone talks about the winning percentage, and that's great. And he's got the best winning, one of the best winning percentages of everybody that's out there starting at quarterback. But, you know, I've heard guys say, well, Patrick Mahomes gets injured. I've never seen Patrick Mahomes miss five games in a season. I think, you know.
He's a unicorn, Mike.
That's, you know.
He's a unicorn.
But he is the standard. But you're right. I mean, other guys, you don't see if the quarterbacks are hurt that much, they wouldn't be in the playoffs either.
All right, last thing from Harbaugh talking about contracts. And this is where, you know, he understands. This is a process. This is coming out of the owners' meetings. A lot of coaches spoke. Today, Arthur Smith, our coach, spoke. You heard from general managers, owners as well. Here's John Harbaugh.
You want it done already, but it's just not always possible. I mean, this is the real world. This is big-time pro sports at the highest level, and contracts are important, and they matter to both sides.
So we'll see where it goes. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick, why should Patriot fans be so optimistic?
What would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
The last 25 years.
Again, I mean, who built this?
Me.
I mean, you want to see my resume?
I mean, look, here's the deal, though. Not such a genius anymore. Tom Brady.
We love him.
Tom Brady's not under center. Yes. You know, that's just it. I mean, you know, all the crazy draft stuff and, you know, trade, you know, they have like a gazillion picks and trading out and drafting. Yeah. When you go get Edelman. That's great. You go get Wes Welker. You need a super quarterback to make those guys look like the stars they became.
I love the way he plays.
Yes. Love, love, love. Do you believe in Mac Jones?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I see the skills. But I think that the way the thing is constructed, now they've added some wide receiver weapons and they brought in some pieces.
O'Brien's going to change him? Is Bill O'Brien going to change him?
Bill O'Brien, no, I don't believe in him now, but I mean, Patricia, that wasn't his fault. And to his credit, he bucked the system, which obviously Belichick was not going to say it publicly, but they weren't too happy about the things Mac Jones was telling the papers about how ridiculous that offense was. They were going down the field 2 yards at a time in the passing game. But yeah, Bill O'Brien, I think, can fix this guy the way Dable fixed Daniel Jones.
That's a good comparison. Listen, if he can't, then they're in trouble. Then they're back in the quarterback market. Their backup is, I'm talking about the Patriots, because everybody was clamoring for him. Mm. Zappy, Mike.
Yeah, this is the story that came out during the middle of the season. That there, again, for what it's worth, there were some locker room issues that some guys were behind. There was like a Zappy camp, and then there was the Mac Jones camp. And some of the guys are rallying behind Zappy.
Yeah.
We love him.
General manager Brian Gutekunst. He is the GM for the Packers. Mike, he says they tried to reach out to Aaron Rodgers since their final meeting in January, and they haven't spoken?
Yeah. Now, look, Aaron still holds a grudge over the way he's been mistreated. Come on, bro.
Pick up the phone.
Look, his evolution to be enlightened, Carl, is basically a bunch of nonsense. He's as petty as anybody. He's as petty as Brett Favre. It's the same kind of crap. He still holds grudges over, you didn't have my guy. You need a better wide receiver. Look, and some of it is legitimate. They should have gone and gotten some better wide receivers earlier in his run. Get over it. Exactly.
Here is Gutekunst talking about not speaking to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously it was a disappointing season, right? And you come out of the season, you have a lot of conversations, not only with Aaron, but with the rest of the team, coaches, and everybody. And as you go through that process, you kind of get an idea of where you're going to move to, you know, as a team, how you're going to go forward. And I think I was really looking forward to the conversations with Aaron to see how he fit into that. Those never transpired. So, there came a time where we had to make some, you know, decisions. So we went through his representatives to try to kind of talk to him where we were going with our team. And at that point, they informed us they would like to be traded to the Jets.
Yeah, look, he's been petty about this, and Aaron Rodgers uses the Pat McAfee show or whatever interview he's doing to kind of passively, aggressively still come at it. And again, he's supposed to be this guy who's he works on a higher plane than the rest of us. No, he acts like a 12-year-old. That's what it's all about. He's still carrying beefs from back in the day to this team, and that's why he wants out.
I thought that's why he went into the dark retreat, though. I thought he solved all of that. He said he saw his former self, Mike, as a child, and he healed some of these things.
By the way, when you're in the dark room, do you have that little lady for Poltergeist? Step into the light, Aaron. Step into the light.
Hey, one of our listeners, Chris Sammy Sams. Thank you, Chris. He says, guys, I think the Falcons are afraid of controversy. He says after going after Deshaun, the Lamar thing shouldn't have even been a question. But he says, I'm just a fan. I don't know, shaking my head.
Hey, Lamar is loved in Baltimore. He's loved in that locker room. You know, I mean, I think the only guy that made any comment was Sammy Watkins about why he didn't play because he said, look, I'm injured. But and some of the guys in that locker room said, screw them, meaning the team, for the way they've been handling this. And if you don't feel 100%, don't play. But he has been a leader on that team. He's been – look, I saw this guy with my own eyes beat Florida State like a beaten
– by himself.
I mean, just humiliating defeat, put 63. That's when I became a Lamar Jackson fan because the skill set was unbelievable. And it's a fit here in the city. And, you can dance around Mike Vick all you want. And Lamar Jackson is not Michael Vick. He is Lamar Jackson. He's his own person. But that kind of athlete, that kind of skill set electrifies this town. It did, and it will again if it ever happens again. And hopefully Ritter will have some of that stuff. We just didn't see him do the electrifying stuff with his four-game sample. Not his fault, maybe, because maybe they didn't allow him to.
More coming up. We're going to get a chance to talk to Arthur Blank, 525. Make sure you are here. You are going to get a chance to hear Double A coming up next. Alex Anthopoulos stopped by the steakhouse. You're right. And he talked about a lot of things coming out of spring, the pitching rotation, and much more. Hear what our general manager of the Atlanta Braves had to say next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I saw this video, and I got hyped because the guys get out. They got the jerseys on, the new. Oh, it's just tight. That's all I can say. I'm excited about the start of the season with our Braves. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk more about the Braves coming up later in the show as Grant McCauley is going to join us. But on the Steakhouse today, and we invite you to listen to Steak 9 to 11 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, stopped by. And the first thing Steak asked him was, why send down Grissom and Shoemaker?
Yeah, and I think Strider and Harris performing the way they did last year, anytime we have a young guy with upside, 22 years old, Vaughn Grissom, who's super charismatic and a great human being and is going to be a great player and a fan favorite, there's going to be a lot of hype around him. But I think the one thing is, we like Orlando Arcia a lot, and I think that's the biggest key to this is it's not because Grissom and Shoemaker didn't play well, and Shoemaker wasn't expected to be a contender because he ended the season on the IL and he missed time. So we weren't even factoring him, but he worked his way into the conversation. But they're young players. And when you really consider it, there's not that many Acuñas, Harrises, and Striders. A lot of these guys are more like Dansby Swanson and Riley, where they take a little bit of time. There's growing pains, Max Fried, Kyle Wright. A lot of guys don't just hit the ground running, get up to the big leagues and don't go back. So we think Shoemaker and Grissom are going to be very good players. But Arcia really started swinging the bat well. He swung the bat well last year. Some of our internal stuff on him is really strong. We like the defense quite a bit. And our biggest issue was we weren't prepared to put him on the bench because if a young guy was going to make the team, Arcia was not going to play. And we just weren't prepared to pull the plug on the opportunity for him to get at bat. So we want to give him a shot. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully he takes the opportunity. He runs with it. Grissom and Shoemaker get development time and play well, and we have a good problem on our hands.
Yeah, you want them getting at bats, both those guys. That's another reason not to have them on the mothership, right?
No doubt. I mean, and we told them both. Look, they both played well enough to absolutely make this team. Orlando Arcia has been around a long time. He's a veteran. He knows his role. He accepts his role. We'd given him a two-year deal a year ago, and he knew what to expect. So we know he can stay ready and come in. If Vaughn Grissom and Shoemaker are here to sit on the bench and barely play, they're not going to get better. It's the same thing I told A.J. Minter in 2021. When we sent him down, I remember him telling me, can I just be the last guy in the bullpen? Why am I have to be sent down? I said, you absolutely can. You're easily a guy that could, but you're not going to pitch. If you're the eighth guy in the pen, you're never going to pitch. How are you going to get better? We view you as a late-inning guy. You need reps. And it's the same thing with those two guys. We don't view them as utility guys or guys that are going to play sparingly. We view them as everyday players, and they need to get the at-bats.
Yep.
Alex Anthopoulos here in the Steakhouse. Alex, there's two camps of folks that usually will argue one way or the other. Yes, spring training matters. Keep up with batting averages, wins, losses. Then there's the other camp that says they're working on their stuff. Don't pay attention to anything. What do you pay attention to numbers-wise at spring training?
Yeah, so I think every GM, manager, coach, it'll always be the way they want it to go. So, for example, if a guy's not doing well, you tell yourself, it's spring training. You don't want to worry and stress yourself out. If a guy does well, you get excited. You know, as much as I come in every spring and say, I'm not going to weigh this stuff. I'm going to ignore it. We're not doing advanced reports. They're not advancing our players. Guys aren't playing every day. They're not getting in a rhythm, all that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, things now over time I look for, if you pitch, I'm not going to get caught up in the stats. I'm going to look at the stuff. How's the velocity? How's the ball move and so on? I mean, the one stat, a very simple stat that I will look at and pay attention to is walks. The plate's the plate. I don't care what league you're in. I don't care what ballpark you're in. I don't care what's going on. Throwing strikes should be universal across the board. And if you're walking a lot of guys, I don't think that that's a spring training thing, so that's a concern. But again, velocity, the way the ball moves. And then from a position player standpoint, I'd say it's more the quality of that bat. You're watching how they take a pitch. If it's a slider out of the zone, do they take it? Do they almost offer? Are they hitting the ball hard? I think sometimes you look at these stats and you see someone hitting 380. Are they hard hit balls? Are they balls that are falling? And I'd rather a guy go 0-for-4 and he's hitting balls all over the place really hard rather than 4-for-4 and they're just C&I base hits and so on.
Yeah, based on all that, I guess Matt Olson's going to be the MVP this year because, God, what a spring he had, huh?
Yeah, he's been incredible. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, there's part of you, it's like these guys that have crazy springs, you're hoping it does carry over right. And it translates. I think the thing with Matt is obviously he's had a pretty long career so far, and he's had a lot of success, and he's an established star. The one thing that makes it feel – I mean, look, he's a really good player regardless, but makes this feel more real is he made an adjustment to his stance and his swing going into the Mets series last year, right at the end of the year, and he had a monster series. And you talk about Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, this Bassett. I mean, he had a huge series, and then he carried that over – into the series against the Phillies, and he's facing Zach Wheeler and Nola and so on. So there's a story here when you look at how well he's performing, the adjustments he made at the end of last year, the carries over against premium starters into the postseason, now into spring training. You talk about buy or sell, I am buying.
Big time. Hey, Alex Anthopoulos with us as we get ready for opening day for the Braves. If this is January and we're talking about the Braves, not a lot of folks that – listen to us. We're talking about Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd. And how much do you know about their possibility to have the spring that they had? And how surprised compared to the average Joe are you to see where they're going to be on opening day?
Well, so we will, in the winter, we know that on average, you know, it varies from year to year. On average, you will have 11 guys make starts for you, right? And let's say 7 of those guys will make 20 starts or more. And maybe starters 8 to 11 might make 5, 2, 8, whatever it might be. Schuster and Dodd were guys we absolutely factored into the 11. We said they're gonna get to Atlanta this year. They're going to be depth for us. They're going to be important. We're going to use these guys. We're going to need these guys. We did not think they would come in competing for a job, especially because we had guys ahead of them with more experience and we could give them more time. But if they had come in and just been good, not great, we would have said, let's stick with the guys we have. They have right. experience and so on. These guys came in and just blew the doors off. And you know, for them to do what they've done, they've been that good. And it's the same thing. They are throwing strikes, and their stuff is very good. And from a makeup standpoint, we know these guys. Obviously, they were pretty high draft picks, the two of them, top three rounds. But I remember we made the decision to announce Elder and Anderson. We did it early by design because, one, we were sold on the two kids, but we actually wanted to crank up the heat on them a little bit and see how they were going to react. You know, we knew media would be going to them asking them. We knew friends would be sending them texts start to start. Everyone would be watching. They feel the pressure. And as much as you could try to simulate pressure that you have during the season when the games count, we wanted to try to do that. And I remember talking to Strider about it right after we sent out Anderson and Elder. I'm like, I'm going to be really interested to see if these guys melt. And that wasn't the exact words I used, but he basically told me, like, there's no chance these guys are not wired that way. They're not going to melt. They're not going to react. They're going to be the same guys. And it was nice hearing that from someone in the same room, knowing that from a mental standpoint, they're in a great place. So I'm excited to see what they do.
I love that. That's a great little insight that you said, let's put some heat on these guys. And certainly they have performed on the back end just as strong as on the front end. Couple of quick things. Division's a monster. I think we're doing a piece later saying the three most watchable teams in baseball,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And all three teams are NL East 1, 2, and 3. Unfortunately, we're third, right?
Mets, Phillies, Braves, the most watchable in all of baseball.
So I think AL East, when you ran the Jays, probably was close to that. Or have you seen a division like this? Does that even get you more dialed in early on because of just how competitive this division is going to be?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, when I was in the AL East, it was tough. You had the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Rays were always exceptionally well run. You know, the Orioles were very competitive as well. And everybody was really good. And I thought it was the toughest division in the game, especially the Yankees and Red Sox were two teams spending the most on team payroll and so on. And I think now the NL East has become that division one. They're really talented clubs. You have two teams that won over 100 games. The third team went to the World Series. I'm pretty sure we have two of the top five highest payrolls in our division with a lot of stars. So, and they're well run. I always look at the front offices, and just like if you're buying stocks, you're not buying the company, you're buying the people, in my opinion, you're buying the people that run the company. So the people running these teams are very, very good at what they do, and it's a great challenge. So each year I always think about how are we going to get back to the postseason, how are we going to get back to the postseason. But I think that element of fear, or that element of just knowing how hard it is and not taking anything for granted, I think it serves us well because we're constantly grinding and we continue to push. But, from a fan standpoint, you can look at it the other way. We're in the best, the most competitive and the best division in baseball, which makes viewing day in and day out great. You're watching stars, you're watching great teams. And if you win it, you earned it, no doubt about it. And there's definitely a sense of achievement there. So we're with the big dogs, we're with the big boys.
Yeah.
And it's certainly exciting that we get to go toe-to-toe with those teams.
If you're a puppy, get off the porch. Let the big dogs eat.
Yeah, no. The Braves have had to deal with some massive injuries the last couple of years, losing Ronald Acuna for the year they won the World Series, losing Ozzie Albies much of last year. And the Mets, look, that's why the world's smallest freaking violin for the biggest spenders in baseball,
yep.
Okay? Figure out what you got to do, and maybe they do something before the deadline. Maybe some of their relievers, or they got some good ones too, will step up. But they lose Edwin Diaz. We talked about the Phillies, use Rhys Hopkins.
Yep.
You know, I mean, but again, the Braves have been dealing with this kind of stuff for like, the last 3 years, so big deal. Go get it. Those teams, by the way, are the only two teams outspending us, like the top seven in payroll.
Mike, I'm clapping my hands because I still feel like we're the best team in this division. I know we are.
I just thought last year, and I know we're not making excuses, but Fried not being able to do the job because his stomach was jacked up, and we've already talked about it, that the Strider thing put you behind the eight ball. And it just, you know, you really did spend a lot of emotion and a lot of whatever you spent on winning that division because you had nothing for the Phillies.
All right, guys. And literally, I just took my sheet into the other room. Because we were doing some other work there.
Oh.
It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Get your sheet together.
Yes. Well, it's in the other room. But we want to give you a chance to win tickets now.
This sounds like Matchbox 20.
Well, that's who it is. Caller 5 is going to win the tickets.
And they're going to play in an arena.
At 404 Lakewood.
You bet they are.
404-741-0929. Caller 5 is going to win tickets.
Did you know that's where Smoking the Bandit's conclusion was filmed?
I did not.
The Lakewood Fairgrounds.
No, I did not know that.
That's correct.
It's going to happen July 2nd, Lakewood Amphitheater. I wanted to give you the date because I want to make sure you can go. Caller 5.
I was just
5.
Stalling while you got your facts.
No, it's all good. And tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Mike, you did an excellent job.
Thank you,
sir. All right, guys. Caller 5 is going to win. We're coming back. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. So, ladies love Dukes and Bell, like LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool J. Ladies love Dukes and Bell, too. And apparently, we had a lady winner, Mike,
hey. For
the tickets. Brooke, am I right? Brooke in Buford?
It's ladies night.
Heindel. Brooke Heindel.
Mood is right.
Brooke Heindel from Buford.
What's up, girl?
Apparently, she's a big listener.
Hey, man.
Apparently, she's down every day for Dukes and Bell.
That's what I like to hear. Remember, 21% of our audience is female.
Matchbox 2020 tickets. She's going to go check out the show July 2nd at Lakewood Amphitheater. So congratulations. Maybe we'll have more. Stay tuned. I just mentioned this, and we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Clarence Hill, you may or may not know who Clarence Hill is. Longtime writer Covers the Cowboys, right. Covers a variety of things in Dallas. But he just put out a tweet, Mike, and basically said the Commanders and Falcons saying they would rather have Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder over Lamar Jackson is downright absurd. But here we are.
Mm.
I'm reading it like this because I'm guessing he said it like this. When teams say their primary focus is winning, they're lying. That's what he just said. I don't know if they're lying, but I do think there is a lot of misdirection going on. And the teams that are still involved in this conversation are all teams that continue to say they have their guy. So we'll see. Our poll question is up at Dukes and Bell 929. You can go vote. Do you think the Falcons are completely out, done, finished, kaput, done on Lamar?
I would say it's probably 0.0001%. Steve Wyche talked to Arthur Smith, our head coach, and Arthur is definitively saying that Ridder is his guy. Now, he's going to have to obviously, you know, continue to develop, but he believes that he will do that. So, again, you know, whether they were scared off of, you know, Deshaun Watson, the embarrassment of that. You know, I'm talking to a listener right now, Travis, talking about the contract machinations. Could you have done what the Browns did? Mm-hmm. I just don't think they were willing to go to that level. I was under the impression they were willing to go to the Kyler Murray, what that eventually became the Russell Wilson deal.
Yeah, I just don't think there's one shoe that fits all, right?
Right.
Everybody's, like, stuck on this one contract. Guys, you know how many variations of these quarterback contracts that are out there? That's why it's complicated. Seriously. Mm. When you talk about the injury money and the workouts and all that stuff that plays. Either way, we'll talk more about it coming up with our owner, Arthur Blank, at 525. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on today, man?
$250 million guaranteed. And two first-round picks. Guys, we just spent 3 years getting to this point with the salary cap and the draft picks. It really, to quote Peter Griffin, it really grinds my gears that this narrative is continuing on the way that it has around Lamar Jackson. But we'll continue this conversation later because we have more pressing things to attend to. Mike Bell just mentioned our buddy Steve Wiggity Wiggity Weiss sat down with Coach, and we have obtained said audio. Let's hear from head coach Arthur Smith on QB1.
You know, Desmond Ridder, a guy who you guys have groomed. You saw him play for a few games last year. What has Ridder shown you as to where, you know, you're going to give him an opportunity to compete for that starting job?
Right. Absolutely. Well, really, when we drafted Desmond, you know, he sat behind Marcus. And certainly if we thought going into week one, if he was ready to go and he had played better than Marcus, we would have played him. But it allowed him to us to bring him along when we didn't feel like we had to rush him, or we wouldn't have certainly adapted to give us the best chance to win. And so times, you know, timing and luck, you know, they help you a little bit. And we had a unique opportunity to end the season, and we felt Desmond was ready. We thought that was the best thing for the team, and it certainly, I thought he improved week after week. He was very, very effective on third and fourth down, and you saw those last 2 weeks, the growth he made from this first start to really his third and fourth. We're excited about it, and we know Taylor coming in is a guy that gives you a chance to win. He understands his role, you know, with a plan to go on to the season with Desmond as our starter. So we're very excited. It certainly helps that Taylor, you know, grew up down the road as well.
So is this the right move? Yeah, man, no, man.
Well, here's the thing. When Coach talks about, you know, timing, I think Coach, and I do like Arthur Smith a lot. I've said this publicly, privately, had some great conversations with him, and we will continue to.
We love him.
Yes. But the reality is he toyed with us. And he toyed with us because as long as they were close to being in playoff contention, we all knew that he wasn't going to start Desmond Ridder. And I got to tell you guys something. If we would have won two of the games that we should have won, I don't even know if we see Ridder at the end of the season. I don't know if Marcus quits like he did. So as long as we were in the hunt, right, we weren't going to see Ridder. Soon as that became an unrealistic thing that we were not going to be in the playoffs, all of a sudden it became the best timing. I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. I just don't. That's where I'm at. So the timing had more to do with the idea that as long as we were in the hunt, you needed to keep us interested, and therefore you played Marcus Mariota. You didn't want to give Ridder the opportunity four games into the season.
But, you know, if Coach is hanging with, you know, he wasn't ready to play until 4 weeks left in the season, then aren't you even less likely to be – I mean, what gives you the sense of confidence that he would be better if you're a fan? than what you know what you've got with Lamar Jackson, injuries aside. You know, because Arthur's basically saying that he wasn't ready to go until late November, you know, into December. And, you know, you and I said after the grenade toss game in Carolina that you and I attended, that was still one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Wasn't that the optimum time? Plus, you'd be starting against the worst defense in the NFL in the Bears here at Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
As opposed to a few weeks later in New Orleans on the road against the Saints, which is a really good defense in a hostile environment.
Now, I don't think anyone's arguing the skill set difference. It's cost. It's just so cost prohibitive, right?
It depends. Like, listen, Turtle, the assumption is if you're going to tell me, yes, he's getting $250 million, hell yeah, that's cost prohibitive. If you're telling me he's getting 3 years guaranteed money like Kirk Cousins did, it's not as cost prohibitive. Now you're talking about a lot less money. Yes, he's still getting 100 plus million guaranteed, but that's a different deal than what we're talking about, what's perceived to be out there, which is the Deshaun Watson deal, which is what everybody wants to make this. I don't think he gets that, guys. I've been saying it from day one. But I don't think he gets that.
But this goes back. We've talked to everybody and their uncle from people like, you know, Quadri Ishmael. There's a number in his mind that he's not moving from.
Yeah.
And it's more than Kyler Murray. And again, if it's – I still think he's – I just feel this guy feels
– I think it's Mike 180 and 200.
I'm MVP.
That's what I think.
Deshaun Watson. And again, and then there's always that variable. No one's really copped to it. Some people have said maybe the NFL Players Association pushing for him to be the test case, although Deshaun Watson was just – the Haslam's being stupid. But this would be the test case to further the argument for guaranteed contracts.
I'm going to tell you this. If you're Jalen Hurts, you do your deal now, you chill and wait.
Oof.
If you're Joe Burrow, are you pushing your guy right now to do your deal, or are you chilling and waiting? Mm. You feel me? I mean, that's what we're talking about. Like, I want to see where this goes because I know what just happened. And I know what I've done. If I'm those guys, I'm going to wait and see what happens. Here's the answer to your question. It is, yeah, man, the right decision for our team because he's the guy on our team who arguably gives us the best chance to win. Some people might even argue that Heinicke might be better right now, but he's not going to start, and that's already been clarified by the head coach. So if you're asking me, is this the best decision for our team right now? Yes, because he's the guy on the team. Until things change or we see further with what the situation is going to be, that's where I'm at.
Right.
I think Joe Burrow's number is going to start with a 4.
Well, and I'm just saying, you don't think a lot of that's going to be guaranteed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one more before we get out of here. So one of our favorites, Mike McDaniel, always good for a solid quote, was a former employee of the Washington football team, now Washington Commanders, who are now reportedly on the selling block for $6 billion. He was alerted of this information yesterday at the owners' meetings, and he had a classic McDaniel response.
Wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee.
That's Daniel Snyder for you.
Yeah, nice little jab there from Coach on the state of things in Washington.
By the way, awesome. I mean, the whole country. I mean, if you have no vested interest in the Washington football team, you just want to see Snyder just go away already. Just go away. Paid himself $8 million to paint the logo on his team, on his own private jet, by the way.
Yeah.
That was the story that came out a few weeks ago from the Washington Post article.
I'm surprised it took this long with all the evidence that the owners had in front of them, Mike. But let's be honest, they were kind of chicken blank to do this. I mean, honestly, right? The owners could have driven him out and had a vote 2 years ago.
Well, remember, guys, how this thing all works. And by the way, Jim Irsay, second time now, he's kind of been the trial balloon. He's the one who said, I got no problem paying a guy like Deshaun Watson. Then he goes, I don't want to pay the guaranteed money. So again, now whether Irsay is just going off the reservation and he's just being Irsay, because, you know, now I got to be honest, he's the only guy I've ever met who's more fun clean and sober than he was as a fall-down drunk. But Irsay is a guy who really throws a lot of stuff out there. And the first one was, I think it's time we look into moving Daniel Snyder out. I thought he was somebody in the group of owners got him to be the trial balloon for that one.
Yeah. I tell you this, if you, whatever organization you work for, if they're worth $6 billion and you can't get a free cup of coffee, something's wrong.
Ringing endorsement from Coach McDaniel. Now, as we get out of here, this is going to be weird and fun to say for the next couple of weeks until I get adjusted to it. Bo, hit my music.
He's not lying. It's Cajun Bo. It's Big Bo, as we like to call him, which always irks Squid Billy. Big Bo on the buttons.
Well, he is bigger than Squid.
Yes, he is.
Physically. Yes. He's taller. He's more stout.
Oh, yeah. He's sexy. He's Cajun.
I mean, it's not personal. And by the way, we didn't give him that nickname. It just kind of came upon him.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be like the telephone game. You know, you're
what?
Quinville is going to be out there.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Squid, our morning shift guys, they are going to have on Steve Smith on the show. And I want to pass that along because they are going to have him on, I think, tomorrow, 8 a.m., Steve Smith, former Panther and NFL Network analyst. So he'll be on the show tomorrow on the morning shift. All right, we're coming back. Dogs dealing with injuries. Spring ball is upon us. We're counting down to G-Day. We'll talk some college football and what the latest is as we get ready for the Final Four. Coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.